your burdens. All cast your cares upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. In 1 Peter, it states it like this: humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. It sounds like God cares for you even in the Old Testament and in the New. And what it suggests to us is that regardless of what age or what dispensation, the church age you're in, the Lord is simply caring for all that he created. You do know you were created in God's image and likeness. And if we are created in his image and likeness, God cares about what he made. He cares about each and every one of us. Today, many of us who claim to be Christians are living our lives as if God isn't hearing us or God is not watching us. We become concerned when our prayers are not answered. But the very first time we prayed, God heard our prayers. And what we need to understand is that the answer to our prayers is in God's time frame. And what I have seen and what you and I are not to give up on our prayer request is because God is doing something uniquely, because there are times he have to move stuff out of the way and establish stuff in order to bring about the solution to whatever your situation is. God is never too busy to hear us. There are times in our life that we get so busy that we forget to pray. But God has never been too busy to not hear from his children. In 1 Peter, it states we are to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, and he will lift us up in due time. Not your time, but in due time. How many times have we as believers humbled ourselves before the Lord? You know, it's been said that a person is humble is kind of weak and wimpy. But in reality, a humble person is a strong person. I'm reminded of Moses when God spoke to him at Mount Horeb or at Mount Sinai. And God told him to take off his shoes, for he was walking on holy ground. And I shared in Bible study that the day you start taking your shoes off, you fall into a kneeling position. And when you fall into a kneeling position, you're giving reverence and honor to our Lord, our God, and our King. Now, Moses at the time did not understand the one God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because Moses at this time was dabbling in all types of lifestyles under the Pharaoh in Egypt. But once he had a relationship with the Lord, once he came into contact with God, your life will never be the same. You cannot have a relationship with the Lord and still look different. Still walk the same way, still talk the same way, and act the same way, because the Lord has done something within you. So Moses humbled himself in a humbling position. If the angels bow down before him, and if heaven and earth adore him, who do we think we are that we will not bow before our Lord, our God, and our King? The first thing that we need to understand is that God cares about our identity. Or God cares about who we are. God knows us because we are cheerfully and wonderfully made. You and I are created in the image of God. Our identity is to look like him, not in a physical image, but in a spiritual image. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Then that raises another hypothetical question: what is truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the you said that, and the life. Jesus understood that when he began to share to the world truth, when regardless of all of these new age and all of these absolutisms, You cannot get away from the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am truth, and I am life. And because Jesus said that, he was really sharing with you and I that in him, in Jesus Christ, he was not only truth, but he was holy and he is righteous. Man today is trying to turn the truth into a lie and the lie into the truth. But can I suggest something to us? We cannot get away from the author of truth, which is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our attitude towards the truth determines the outcome of our lives. Oh, that just slipped over your head. Our attitude towards the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if he is the way, the truth, and our life, our attitude determines the outcomes of our lives. Let me explain it this way. If we don't love the truth, or if we don't love Jesus, if we resist him, we resist salvation. But if we love the truth, then we embrace salvation and we receive the reward, which is the crown of life. Eternal life, crown of life. Because God cares about you. We as believers have the ability to reason and to choose, knowing the difference between right and wrong. Christians should be the light on a hill, a beacon of light. There should be something so unique about us that the world simply know that we are uniquely different. Our demeanor ought to be different. Our personality ought to be different. When folks come around you, if they talking smack or whatever they talking, they ought to be able to know that they need to respect you for who you are as a believer. And if they keep talking that stuff, when you're around, not only do they not have respect for you, but they do not have respect for our Lord, our God, and our King. For Christians all look alike. We talk alike. We walk alike. And we live the same way that the Lord desires for you and I to live. We don't live like the world, neither do we partake in the stuff of the world. How can I be like Christ if I'm dabbling in the world stuff and on Sunday I'm shouting and falling out and praising the Lord? That's a contradiction. But if I am consistent in my walk and consistent in my talk, if I'm praising the Lord on Sunday, it ought to follow me on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And rejoice, because on Sunday I'm getting filled up again. Because every time I come into the house of the Lord, I get a dose of my power and my strength, because I'm eating the word and filling up on the word of God. Christians should hate what God hates and love what God loves. What is it that God hates? God hates sin. And if God hates sin, we ought to hate it as well. What is it that God loves? God loved the world. And we need to be able to understand the meaning of that love, which was sacrificial. Anybody able to sacrifice today? We come into the house of the Lord. And the Lord said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The Lord is simply saying, I need you to sacrifice, Mike. I need you to go out into the world and find somebody that need a relationship with the Lord. I need you to be able to talk to your neighbor on Monday and allow them to come in the Bible study on Wednesday. I need your life to be so unique and so profound that it draws men by your conversation, because our conversation ought to be in likeness with the one who gave us the word. For he is the word. For in the beginning was the and the word was with God, and the word was God. So if I'm using the word and people are getting excited about the word, they can't get away from the word. As believers, we ought to call what's bad, bad, as God called it bad, and call good what God calls good. And people will know who we are and whose we are. Secondly, God cares about our burdens. Anybody carrying anything? God cares about our burdens. For the psalmist said, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Casting is a fisherman's term. It means to throw something forcefully away. Any fishermen in the house? We've been down to Texaco Town, and I know Brother Gaines have, and we get that line and we cast it out. But casting is the ability to forcefully throw out something with an opportunity to catch something. And so the Lord says, I need you to forcefully cast some stuff out of your life. Anybody got anything you need to cast out? Don't play with it. The Lord said, I need you to cast it out. If there's something that you caught up on, if this drug, you cast that stuff away from you. If it's something that you've been caught up in, you cast it away. Don't cast it lightly. If you want to cast it and get a big fish, you cast deep into the water. And so the Lord is saying, whatever you eat, whatever you are caught up in, it depends on how forcefully you cast it away from you. And the Lord said, cast it to me, because I care for you. And if you cast it to me, I will catch it. And then when you reel it in, you bring me into your situation. And when you bring me into your situation, your cancer has to go. Your diabetes has to go. Your heart condition has to go. Your rheumatism arthritis has to go. When you cast it away from him, he reels him in. And when you reel him in, the Lord says, I can do exceedingly, abundantly more than you can ask or ever think. And the Lord says, I've been waiting for you to hook up on me. Hook up on the Lord. The Lord is saying, I need you to trust me in all that you do. Thirdly, the Lord cares about our action. He cares about how we live, where we go, and where we've been. But one thing I love about the Lord, where you've been is not important as to where you're headed. Because the moment you get hooked up on him and accept him as your Lord and Savior, he says, and repent of your sin. That's the requirement. The Lord then says, I won't remember your stuff or where you've been anymore. So the Lord said, the God cares about our action. God cares about what we are doing. God has an all-seeing eye. He cares about how we live. He cares about how we treat one another. God's desire is for our action to be like God's action. It's like the Good Samaritan who saw a man who was in need. And because he was in need, there were a lot of religious folks, those holier-than-thou folks, who those religious leaders who pass by every day and expect to be elevated up. See, every now and then church folk want you to pat them on their back because of who they are. Maybe they can wave their hand and shout, but they sometimes forget that there's some work that has to be done in the field. But every now and then, we need to be a good Samaritan. Let me flip the script to those who don't know what a Samaritan is. A Samaritan is a half Jew. And all of the Jewish folks, all of the righteous folks, all of the folks who...
Thank you for tuning in to Paradise Ministry. We pray something said today has encouraged you in your personal relationship with the Lord. If you would like to have a copy of this message, you can email us at antiochmathis@bellsouth.net, or you can send a love offering of $8 to Paradise Ministry, P.O. Box 281, Woodworth, Louisiana, 71485. As always, we hope to see you in church.
The Wade Hampton Show will be right back.
Signs showing the rapture of the church is near. The power of the tide and the seven blessings of the tide. The new book by John Hoffman sheds new light on ancient Bible prophecies. This